9 this morning, Proverbs chapter 9, and we're going to continue our study on the book of Proverbs and going through what we've come to as a group as far as the verses that spoke to us. This kind of was interesting. Pretty much the whole church was focused in on Proverbs 9, verses 9 through 12. Some had verse 9, some had verse 12, some had verses 10 and 11. Some had 9 through 11, 9 through 12, and just depends on as you go there. But we were pretty well right in that, so those are the verses we're going to be focused on. But let's go ahead and read the chapter. It's a pretty short chapter, only 18 verses. So, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1, "Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars, she hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table. She has sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the high places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. A foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple, and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house, on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell." Now, before we get into this, I want you to notice you have two that are calling. You have wisdom that is calling, and then you have the foolish woman that's calling. And you know, it is relationships that lead us astray many times. It's relationships that cause us to fail many times. It's relationships that get us in a lot of trouble sometimes. And so your relationship with God has to be the most important relationship. And that relationship with God is a relationship with wisdom and understanding. So when we go and we look at these, there's so much here that we could talk about and preach about, but we're only looking at verses 9 through 12. So when we go to verse 9, it says, "Give instruction to a wise man, he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it." And those passages of scriptures, most of this is really pretty self-explanatory, if you think it through. But when we look at this, you know, we look at the idea of a wise man. You know, Proverbs 1:5, we've already studied this. "Wise men will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsel." And Proverbs 25:12, "As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear." So wisdom becomes a treasure, something to be valued, something that's beautiful, something that's lovely, something that's practical. Wisdom is a wonderful thing. A wise man If he's instructed, he just continues to gain wisdom. If a person who is not wise is foolish, you instruct, and they don't learn. Kind of reminds me, I had a fellow one time, his name was John Covington, and when I was working construction back as a young man, I was 18 at the time, 18, 19 years old at the time, I was working construction and I was doing steel working. We were working on a nuclear power plant down there now where I grew up, on the South Texas project down there. And he was an iron worker and I was down there working for Brown & Root at that time, and he was there, and you know, I was a young man. I was learning. I was an apprentice, all that type of stuff, iron worker. And you know, he would teach me, and they would teach me the craft of the trade and the things to do up there. And he had a saying that he would do if I'd ask him a question or I'd come back and I've done something wrong. He would sit there. You know, he was a patient guy, but he had a saying. He said, boy, I buy you books, and all you do is draw on the covers. And, you know, that's what he would say to me all the time. And what he's basically saying is, I give you everything you need to understand, but you don't pay attention. You're buying somewhere else. You know, you're not using it, the information I'm giving you rightly. And so I'm giving you what you need to do the right thing. And that's where we are with God. We see that what God says, and we find a reason to discount it. Like, I don't really need to pay attention to it. I can do it my way. And, you know, if you are working on something, and you have to redo the work over and over again, right? You have to redo the work over and over again. After a while, it becomes tedious. And hopefully you learn. You don't keep doing it. Now, we ought to be spiritually that way, but oftentimes we're not. We do the wrong thing over and over and over and over and over again. Now, I'm going to go into the jail this afternoon, Lord willing, and I'm going to preach the gospel to a lot of people. And there are a lot of people in there that I have seen more than one time because they go back and they do the same thing over and over again. And I tell them again and again, I said, why don't you come to church? Why don't you at least give it a chance? Come to church. Get amongst some people that are going to at least hold you accountable. Get away from the people that are dragging you down. You know, if you're not strong enough to stand on your own, then get around some folks that'll help you stand. But no, they don't do it. They don't show up. You know, every person since I've been going in the jail, and Brother Larry's been going in the jail, everyone has got an invitation to this church. Have they not, Brother Larry? How many have shown up? And we can be a help to them, possibly. But they go back to the same crowd. Same result. And it's just foolish, but it's not just the people that are in jail that have that level of foolishness. We have that level of foolishness ourselves. And so, but a wise person, he will hear and he'll increase his learning. And he'll be yet wiser. And if you teach a just man, a man that's justified, that understands, he will increase in learning. So this is the whole point. And when we talk about a just man, you know, the Bible says a lot about just men. I gave you a bunch of Bible verses about that, but there's a few of them. Genesis 6:9 about Noah. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Proverbs 20 and verse 7, the just man walketh in his integrity and his children are blessed after him. Proverbs 24 and 16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. If you are just, if you've been justified by the blood of Jesus, you have the ability to rise above even your failures. And you can get back up and you can serve God. And you can begin to make amends, and you can begin to change, and you've got that ability. So there's that picture there of that. And then he talks about the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So we see that picture there of a wise man. And somebody that he has the fear of the Lord, he reverences God, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. To understand how everything works, you have to understand how it was put together, right? If you want to understand how something truly works, you have to understand how it's put together, and the place to get that information is from the one who built it. If I decide that I want to fix something on my vehicle, I have to, and I don't have the knowledge and understanding, I have to go somewhere and get that. And I may go to somebody who, I can go on YouTube or some of these other things, or I can go buy me a manual, or I can go do this, or I can ask a mechanic, or whatever the case may be. But somewhere down the line, you know where they got the information, as the specs and everything? They got it from the people that built it, the people that designed it. They got it from that. So we ought to be ones that just go straight to the source of knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge of the holy is understanding. Understanding God's nature and understanding who He is and His will and His desires, that's understanding. And so we could talk about that. Proverbs 30 verse 3, he says, "I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy." He's berating himself and saying, you know, I've been brutish, and I've hurt myself by not having that understanding of wisdom and that fear of the Lord that we're supposed to have. And of course, there's several verses there that I've in and talk about the knowledge of God and understanding of God. There are several verses there for you. But all of these things, when you look at these things, and this is very, like I said, most of this is very straightforward and very, very simple to understand. If we would just apply the same common sense we apply to the natural world. If you want to understand how to be spiritual, you can't get that from the natural, can you? You know, if I want to know how to plant a garden, I don't go to a mechanic for that. There you go. I go to a gardener. I go to somebody who understands. So if I want to know spiritual things, I don't go to the natural world. I use the common sense and say, if I want to understand spiritual things, I need to have a relationship with God. And the Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. He says the Father seeketh such to worship Him. So that's something that we need to understand. And then we look at the next verse in there in that group in verse 9-12, and he says, "For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased." Psalm 91 verse 16 says, "With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Alright? So, "For by me shall thy days be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased." By what? By wisdom, by knowledge, by the fear of the Lord. These things happen. And I know this by experience. And I've shared my testimony so many times. You know, I grew up and I had a cousin my age, and I had an older brother, and then I had an older cousin that was close to his age. It was like a year, younger than him. And we were pretty much a group of people. We hung together. We worked together. We played together as kids. We grew up together. All of those things. And we all made the same mistakes. And I'm the only one here to talk about it now. Because of the ravages of sin, they're dead. The consequences of sin. My brother murdered for $68 worth of cocaine. My cousin died. My older cousin died because of drug abuse and diseases associated with it. And likewise did my younger cousin. All those people we walk with. And the only difference between them and me is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. That's all there is. It's only differences. I should be by rights where they are. It's where I deserve to be. And I pray that they got saved before they died. I don't know that for sure. I always have hope. I mean, I read where Jesus saved a man who was on the edge of death and told him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." So I've always got hope. But the reality is, I just don't know. And I have to put that in God's hands. I sure wish I could go back and change. All of them, I shared the gospel with all of them, and other people did too. And who knows what's going to happen there, but, you know, I know God can do miracles. But my life was extended by the knowledge of God, by the wisdom of God. And I've got so many family members and that have died early, and it's because of sin. That's all there is to it, because of refusing to hear the wisdom of God, the Word of God. And then it says in the final phrase there, it says, "If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it." And that ought to be pretty much self-explanatory. Herein is the reality of this whole passage of Scripture is, whether you're wise or foolish, eventually you're going to have to give an account for what you have been. Nobody's going to give an account for you. They'll give an account for how they treated you. They'll give an account for whether or not they fulfilled their responsibilities towards you. But that, once again, that's them, what they did. Not you. So if you're wise, you're wise for yourself. If you're foolish, you're foolish for yourself. In other words, in the final analysis, the reality is you're going to be judged not according to what anybody else did, but according to what you did or did not do. And likewise, I can't make anybody. I mean, we can influence people. I can influence people, I can influence my family, but I can't make those spiritual decisions for them. I cannot force them to do. I mean, I can force outward compliance, but I can't change a heart. I don't have that power. Now, I cannot control what's in another person's heart. The only heart I can control is my own. And you know, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that's why we have to seek the Lord, because it said, I, the Lord, know the heart and the reins of man. God's the one that understands. God's the one that sees. God knows what we need individually. And we may be able to impact others' lives, but we cannot decide what's in their heart. There's no way to do that. And so, in the final analysis, you have to decide for yourself, don't you? And in the final analysis, your success or failure is on you. It's not on the preacher. It's not on the people who mistreated you during your lifetime. It's not on the people who lied to you. It's not on them. That what they did is on them. But what you do is on you. You know, they don't, you know, we can have compassion on somebody. For example, if a man's a thief and he's hungry, we might have compassion on them, but that doesn't make what he did right, does it? No. The fact that he stole, if we've ever been hungry before, we might have some empathy with him, but you cannot justify what he did because that belonged to somebody else. Wasn't his. There are other options to stealing, are there not? And that's the reality of it. So you might be able to empathize with somebody. You might be able to impact somebody and influence somebody, but you can't control or decide what's in their heart. And if you're going to be wise, it's because you've chosen to seek wisdom. If you're going to be foolish, it's because you've chosen that. And that's the reality. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, and then we'll close this lesson out today. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for each one that's here. Lord, help us to learn that wisdom is something we need. And Lord, help us to look at ourselves and judge rightly whether or not we are wherein and whether or not we're wise or foolish. And Lord, help us to desire that which was that wisdom that only you can give. And help us to understand that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And to know you is to understand. It's like our Lord Jesus said before we went to Calvary's cross in John 17. He said that we might know thee, the one true God, in Jesus Christ, which thou hast sent. Lord, help us to know you the way we ought to. And Lord, we just thank you for the promises that you've given us as we seek wisdom, the blessings and the benefits of it. We just thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen.